News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
Nicholas Hopton is with us, former UK ambassador to Iran, non-resident senior fellow at the Atlantic Council. And Nicholas, we're going to be asking you to try to read between an awful lot of lines, because reports would indicate that Iran responded to the American plan in the ongoing negotiations, and responded in such a way that their suggestions were utterly unacceptable. Or as Donald Trump put it, "I've just read the response from Iran's so-called representatives. I don't like it. Totally unacceptable, and has dismissed it out of hand." Do we know what the stumbling blocks are, or can you guess?
Good morning, Anton. I think this is that we do know what the stumbling blocks are, and I'm afraid to say they're the same stumbling blocks that have been apparent from the moment this war started. There are three main things that the Iranians will need in any deal or constructive negotiation with the United States. And the United States negotiators, the president, do not seem to understand that two of those things are new as a result of this war. One of them was part of the original negotiations that were ongoing when the US and Israel launched their offensive on the 28th of February. Now, the three things are, first of all, the Iranians will look for some sort of meaningful sanctions relief, easing of the pressures on their economy from the United States, and allowing them to trade more normally. Now, that was on the table as part of the negotiations before. So that's no surprise. The other two things were not really part of the previous negotiations, but they are a result, an unintended consequence of this misjudged war. So the first one is obviously a guarantee from the United States that it will not attack, and it won't let Israel either attack Iran preemptively in the middle of negotiations, as they have done twice in the last year. The level of trust between the two is zero because of that. But the US will need to give that kind of guarantee. Otherwise, the Iranians won't be prepared to meaningfully negotiate. And the third thing, again, the United States should not be surprised that the Iranians are asking for this now. Third thing is some kind of recognition that the status of the Strait of Hormuz has changed, and that Iran has, if not sovereign control over it, but has an influence over the Strait of Hormuz, and that should be respected as part of a negotiating outcome. Now, that is a direct result of the US-Israeli offensive 2 months ago, and the war that followed, and the two blockades of the Strait of Hormuz that still continue. So, no, we should not be surprised that the Iranians have these three red lines, if you like, for negotiation. And the president suggesting that he's outraged by their response, which will be based on these three red lines, to a set of demands which are the US negotiating position, which cover obviously the US and wider Western interests in seeing Iran without a nuclear threat and nuclear enrichment possibilities. You know, it's disingenuous for the White House to suggest that this is a surprising Iranian response.
Now, from an Iranian perspective, are they able to take at face value any commitments that the US make, given that what they have seen thus far has been a pre-established deal being arbitrarily torn up by the American side, and then them being militarily attacked during previous negotiations?
Well, you're absolutely right to point out that the level of trust in both directions, it's not just the Iranians not trusting their American negotiating counterparts. They know for a fact that the Americans are being encouraged by the Israeli government to return to conflict, to war. But they also know that the present US president has this record you've just described of attacking during ongoing negotiations, and back in 2018 destroying, withdrawing the United States from the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, a nuclear sanctions deal formed in 2015, which actually was the basis for a sustainable, uneasy, tense, but a sustainable détente between the United States and Iran. So President Trump destroyed that. That's one of the reasons why we are where we are today, and this war, latest war, has happened. But yes, the both sides totally mistrust the other party.
What's the likely, what if anything, can break that stalemate?
Well, I'm afraid it's possible, given where what we've heard in the last hours from the White House, that President Trump may decide to escalate the military pressure on Iran again. But unless there is something radically different this time around from what we've seen in the last couple of months, we will end up sooner or later back in this position again with an inconclusive outcome. The only thing that would change that, that the US could orchestrate, would be a direct military invasion of the country or part of the country. But as we've seen in previous instances in history, such as after the invasion of Iraq in 2003 by the US, UK and allies, that doesn't tend to lead to a swift and positive outcome. So without that, the regime in Iran seems embedded. It doesn't. It's under a lot of pressure. The economy is in a complete mess. The people are suffering. But the regime still seems to be there and not about to disappear. So unless the US is prepared to take that kind of massive escalation step, which would be unwelcome and would lead to massive repercussions on the global economy, of course, I think that there's going to have to be meaningful negotiations on the basis of both sides respecting that the other one has certain red lines, and whether they like it or not, both sides have to compromise if there's going to be a stable long-term solution to this.
Thank you very much, Nicholas. Nicholas Hopton, Professor of Economic, or rather International Relations at the London School of Economics and Political Science.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.